the Hunting Dog Public Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Moreland. This is the place where we talk everything hunting dog and working dog related. We're just here to promote the sport that we love. So y'all buckle up, because you're along for the ride. Today's word, Psalm 119, 28. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Psalm 119, 28. All right, guys, welcome to the Hunting Dog Public Podcast. I'm your host, Cody Moreland, and today we have 2023 NSD World Champion, Mr. Brian Hartram. Mr. Brian, how are you?
You're doing good.
Yes, sir. Mr. Brian, as always, I'd like you to introduce yourself and tell a little about yourself.
Well, I'm Brian Hartram, 43 years old, from Nashport, Ohio. And I've coon hunted from the time I was big enough to go with my dad and coon hunted until about, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago. And I got into the squirrel dogs and I just started squirrel hunting and that's what I've been doing ever since.
So you don't coon hunt anymore?
No coon hunting.
I got you.
I enjoy going to bed and getting up and
yeah.
No, don't lose much sleep. I don't never set an alarm to go squirrel hunting. If I got the day off, when I wake up, I go hunting and there's a lot less sleep lost squirrel hunting than there is coon hunting.
I really enjoy coon hunting. Something about being out there at night, listening to dogs and just the quietness when the dogs aren't barking. Just it feels like you're out there by yourself, but there's something about not being able to get enough sleep that doesn't do well with my body.
Yeah. Well, the area that we live in up here, they got all the ground leased up with the deer hunting and it's hard to find a place to coon hunt. And I mean, you spend more time off the property you got permission on than you do on the property. And it's just a headache with all the deer hunting and all the crap that goes along with it. So I just said, heck with it. And I started squirrel hunting and that's where I'm at.
I got you. Now at the hunt, we talked some and you told me that around your house is pretty hilly, correct?
Yeah. Pretty hilly. I mean, nothing like that laying between the lakes, but it's hilly. And we got some bottom ground we can hunt in, flat river bottom ground and some flat, just some, you know, but all the flat ground is tracks off of the reservoir over here and it's all flood ground basically.
I got you. So I assume y'all are kind of in farm country also, or?
Yeah. Farm country. Yep.
So probably patch woods or right there off the reservoir.
No, not much patch woods. It's all big country.
Huh.
But it's, I mean, it would remind you a lot of, let me see here. It would remind you, I mean, we got big woods like nothing like LBL. I mean, we don't have tracts of land, hundreds of thousands of acres, but I mean, it's not like Northern Ohio where it's in some 1 mile square blocks. I mean, we have, you know, 150, 200, 300, 400 acre woods and old, you know, country dirt roads that surround them and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, it's nothing like LBL or Arkansas at the White River where you can drive 5 mile off of a main road on a gravel road and never hear nothing but a duck quacking or a boat, you know?
Yeah. That LBL is something I hadn't really ever experienced either. We have it in the Mississippi Delta. There's a good bit of public land, but around my house, we're more of a, I guess, similar to what you're talking about, kind of long in there. And anyway, but Mr. Brian, you won with Game Over. What's Game Over's full name?
Hickory Hill Game Over.
Now, how long have you had Hickory Hill Game Over?
Well, I actually got game before he ever was known as the dog called Game Over. I got him from Travis Brewer. He was about, I think, around 13 or 14 months old. And I was hunting him, and I was having some back issues. And and Adam McGuire, he just had to have him. I messed up and sent Adam a video of him coming treed. And Adam just pestered me, and he had to have him. So I talked to Brewer, and we we actually priced him for more than what we thought that he was, that Adam would pay. And I called Adam, and I told him, and he said, "I'll be at your house at 10:30 tomorrow morning to get him." they said, "Oh crap," you know.
That goes to show you don't price one you ain't willing to sell.
Exactly. And But Adam was absolutely the man for the job, and I would never take credit for that dog, full credit of him, because Adam is who made that dog. And Adam had him, and he changed some hands there, and Cody ended up getting him, and I've had him at the back at the house here since last summer, I guess, I think last May or June, I got him from Cody and started hunting him, and he's still here at the house, and hopefully he gets to stay here.
Yeah, it's, now, I believe that I read that you had won kind of pretty much everything except for a world hunt, and you finally got your world hunt with that dog, so I'm assuming that he's probably not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, I coon hunted in 2007. I won the AKC World Coonhound Championship. And then I actually got some beagles I run too. It gives me something to do. I'm not much of a sit around and watch TV kind of person. I don't watch TV. Maybe during football season I'll catch some football games, but I'm either working or I'm hunting. And last October, I let a boy over here by the house. I wasn't going to go to the World Beagle Hunt, but I'd had her ready for it anyways. And my buddy's boy, he took her, and he won the World Beagle Hunt with the beagle. And so I kind of take claim for the Beagle World Hunt, but I really didn't handle her. So I need to get me a Beagle World Hunt as a handler, but we're going to take a little bit of credit for it anyways. And so I needed a squirrel dog world hunt to be able to say that at least dogs here, we'd won all three of them. And so we got that accomplished also. And then with the nationals, we didn't win the overall nationals, but we won the tree and curb breed with game. And so that gives us we won the Beagle Dog Nationals with a registered dog, the first Beagle hunt I ever went to. We won that, and then I won the Autumn Oaks with my coon dog, so that's the nationals, and then with the breed nationals, we won three nationals with three different dogs, and we won three world hunts with three different kind of dogs. So I find that kind of neat. But
that is extremely incredible. So you've won Autumn Oaks and the, what is it, the ACHA
world? No, it's AKC.
AKC. So you've won a world hunt and Autumn Oaks in coon hunting.
Yep.
What I find fascinating is most people try their whole life to win one or the other, and you've won both, and now you just like, yep, I'm not going to coon hunt anymore.
Yeah. I just enjoy being – I love to hunt. There's nothing in this world that I would rather be hunting than eat. Uh-huh. And I just love being – in the woods with dogs. That's my thing. I love dogs, I guess. I don't know. It don't matter. My couple of my buddies keep teasing me and asking me if I'm going to get a bird dog. And I would probably tackle it, but I don't even know where to begin with a bird dog. So it's a bird dog, probably out, I would say. Yeah. I don't know where to begin.
Well, that's incredible. Like three nationals and two world hunts and Autumn Oaks. I mean, it's
yeah, not bad.
That's a heck of accomplishment. a really, really good accomplishment. Most people try to win one of any of them hunts, and you've done it all. So now, while we're talking about the beagles right quick, do you have a pack or do you just keep a few?
No, I've got two, and I have two dogs. That's it.
And do you take them to field trials regular or?
Yeah, well, I don't, I mean, the one we won the world hunt with last fall, I don't hunt a bunch of them. How I got into the beagles was because there was when the leaves get on and it's hot, I'm not much of a squirrel hunter, and I'm not going coon hunting no more. I've told myself that I'm done coon hunting, and they have the Beagle Dog Nationals, like less than 20 minutes from my house every year. And then they have another hunt and that's in April. And then they have a, hunt, they call them the Memorial in September, and it's 20 minutes from the house. And I thought, man, who wouldn't have a good beagle dog around with having them hunts, you know, two big hunts. I mean, them's two of the top five UKC, beagle hunts that they have every year. And they're literally 20 minutes from the house. And then they hold the world hunt every so often within an hour of the house. Now, last year it was over in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, which ain't but 2.5 or 3 hours from home. So it's not like it was real, real far away. Yeah. But, nope. So that's kind of how I got into the beagles. And, that's how I got into it. And so I hunt a few of the hunts here around the house, local some, and then try to hunt those bigger ones. And I don't know.
Yep. No joke. I mean, if you've got that many big hunts right there next to your house, I mean, it's kind of, I ain't gonna say foolish, but I mean, why not? You don't really have to travel.
Yeah. And it gives me something to do besides sitting at home.
Yeah. Now do you actually kill or hunt rabbits, or do you just let them run and put them in the box?
When I was a kid, Dad rabbit hunted. He never field trialed. And I mean, but since I've got these beagles, well, the two I have now, to my unless they've caught them, they ain't had one shot to them. And well, the one's, I don't know, about a year and a half old, and to my knowledge, she's never chewed on a rabbit in her life.
Wow.
One that won the world hunt, I bought her off of a man from Southern Ohio last spring, and I don't think she's ever had a rabbit shot to her either. But now I know she's caught them because I've seen her carrying them in her mouth before.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, so you just got them more or less to listen to them run, have something to do.
Yep, just gives me something to do.
You can sit on the buggy or in a truck and listen to them. You ain't got to really.
Yeah, the one that we won the world hunt with, Gigi, that's her name. But anyways, she'll hunt 400-600 yards. And I mean, you don't have to walk with her. You just turn her loose and sit on the tailgate or sit in the truck and let her go. I mean, she'll go.
That's pretty wild. Now, do you know what kind of, which I'm putting you on the spot, we wouldn't plan on talking beagles, but do you know what line they're out of, or you just grabbed a couple of beagles? And
no, they're just some, I mean, they're not, I mean, she's just some dogs from down in Southern Ohio and stuff. But yeah, no, and got some of Vicky Bassett's dogs in her, and I mean, she's bred good. I mean, her grandma's a national champion, and her dad's a world champion, and her grandpa, I mean, grandpa's a world champion, and her grandma's a national champion. And so, yeah, the apple don't fall far from the tree sometimes.
Heck, I heard that. Just kind of stumbled across them, huh? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we covered that, because we've had a couple of rabbit hunters on, and I'm sure we kind of piqued their interest a little bit. You might be getting rabbit questions. I don't know if you're the man to talk to, but sounds like you got a good one anyways. Let's talk about this NSD World Hunt. I had never been, and I feel like the NSD Open event and the USDC Open event, I feel like they're kind of the pinnacles of the squirrel dog world hunts. You know, just because you can run what you brung, as long as you're qualified, it don't matter. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know how many the USDC normally has. I think they're normally pretty similar. I think this year was 68. Was there 68?
Yeah, there were 69 and one coming heat, so it knocked it down to 68 dogs.
Yeah, so pretty good turnout. There's anything from walkers, hounds, the tree and curs, to feist, to mountain curs. So run what you brung event. Now, have you attended this event multiple times, or how long you been going?
This was my first time I've ever been there.
Wow, first time, and you won it.
Yeah, not bad.
That's not bad. This was also my first time, so I didn't have a lot to know. I didn't know what to expect. It's pretty cool event, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. Jimmy runs a good hunt. Plenty of squirrels. Now the terrain, yeah. The terrain is another thing to be determined, but I mean, there's plenty of squirrels there. I mean, and it's safe. That's one of the biggest things. When the guy has money wrapped up in their dogs and their time, it's very important for the dogs to be safe. And that's the biggest aspect of it is for the dogs to be safe.
Yes, I would agree 100% with that. Mine likes to get deep, and I never once felt, I can't say that. My dog got treed not far from a road, but it was more of a rural road. I didn't feel like he was in danger. I'm more worried about getting stole. But yeah, that you'll never be able to help that. You know, that's not their fault. There's big land. He just went the wrong direction. But there was probably more squirrels there than I'd have ever hunted in, especially on Saturday. They were everywhere. Did y'all see a bunch Saturday?
No. Saturday. Well, I actually guided the first two rounds, and I went up about 40 minutes north and I think west maybe, and we hunted complete flat ground, and we treed several squirrels. The junior world hunt, we treed nine up there the first round of the junior world hunt, and we treed squirrels Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then Sunday in the morning round, it wasn't too hot, of course, but
so when you rolled up, what was your thinkings being the first time you'd been there? There was a bunch of people there when I rolled up. It was pretty neat.
Oh yeah, it's a good atmosphere, a lot of people. I'd been to the Land Between the Lakes multiple times at Aurora when they used to have
the World Hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, PCC World Hunt was just this right up the road there. It's a great atmosphere.
The banquet was pretty cool. I liked the banquet.
the banquet was nice. I mean, Jimmy run, you know, it was a well-ran hunt. Jimmy's very, very
thorough, that's what I would say.
Thorough, particular.
Yeah.
It's just a well-ran event. He's probably kind of like me. Everything has a place, you know what I mean?
Everything's got to be in order for him to be comfortable. Yeah. And he don't want anything that can go wrong. He tries to go ahead and nip it in the bud at the beginning. That event, I mean, there's cabins, there's hotel rooms. Did y'all stay in a cabin or did y'all stay in the hotel?
No, we stayed in a cabin just down the road.
Right down the road, you can pull up. There's a restaurant there. It's pretty sweet event location.
The restaurant, good food, well priced. I mean, not overly priced. Yep. Other than the terrain, I think that's the.
Probably
the best place in the world to have a hunt, but the terrain, it absolutely stinks.
Well, I got to climb. Some of the hills didn't look that bad. Like, there's not anything that I saw that was unclimbable or walkable, but it just, like, one or two, I was like, man, I don't think this hill's ever going to end. Like, they get longer. The farther I went up, I said, goodness gracious.
Well, let me tell you, the older you get, the steeper them hills get.
I look back, I think I walked 11 or 12 miles Friday because we went on the junior world hunt and you was there.
Yeah.
I walked 11 or 12 miles Saturday. I ended up being a little over 30 miles in 3 days.
And I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I wasn't in the finals. So you walked farther than me because you was on the final cast.
Yeah. I think Saturday or Sunday alone, and we hunted two rounds Sunday, the semifinals and the final. And I think my watch said I walked like 11 miles or something stupid like that. And I know it took me 2 days when I got home. the muscles in my front of my legs and the, what's down beside your shin bone. It took me 2 days to get where it didn't hurt to walk any longer.
Yeah, that wasn't no easy 11 miles, was it?
No. we walked probably over a mile towards the one dog, and then
So we drew out, Jimmy drew out Saturday morning, and who'd you draw out with first round?
The very first round of the hunt, or yes, Sunday?
The first round Saturday.
This first round Saturday, I drawed Jackson with Matthew Quigley and the other man, I don't know his name, but his dog won the 1 year old nationals. I don't know what his name is, and the dog's name slips my mind too, but that's who we hunted against in the first round. And I actually thought I was beat.
So let's talk a little bit about that cast. I mean, we don't have to do everything, but maybe hit the high points happened.
Well, Jackson, we'll just start back. I have had a heck of a time with this dog, getting him to where he won't show up at a tree every now and again, where he ain't supposed to show up.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, Jackson trees, we turn the dogs loose and they're 400 or 500 in there, and game comes treed. And when we get in towards game, you can hear Jackson off deeper and a little bit to the left treed, and game's on a din, and the other dog trees in between them. So I'm leash locked, and we go to Jackson, and he's got a squirrel, and the other dog is on a din tree. And it was just din. And well, the next turn loose, actually, we turned the dogs loose, and there was a creek in there. And it was, I mean, it wasn't a real big creek, but it was where they'd had rain. It was running pretty good down through there.
Yeah.
And Jackson trees, and for some unknown reason, mine makes about a 400 or 500 yard loop and can't find anything. And he circles back around. Well, instead of doing what he does at home and just keep on going, for some unknown reason, he thought he needed to tree with Jackson.
Yeah, it happens.
And I thought, man, I've drove 8 freaking hours from home, and you're going to act like a zoo head. And I thought, it's just, I mean, unbelievable. And so we get them off of that tree, and we turn loose, and they get split apart there, and mine trees, and Jackson trees. Well, they're on dens. I get to recut off of that tree, and game, he shoots around through there and he trees. And I knew when he come treed that he was looking at that squirrel. And he's the kind of dog that can just be den tree, den tree, den tree. And once he trees that first squirrel, it's like he goes into looking for squirrels instead of den trees or whatever it may be. And so we circle Jackson, and they're leash locked, and we go to game, and he's got a squirrel just up a small tree and a grapeviney tree. And we recut them dogs, and I mean, just in seconds, he's 500 yards in their treed again. And I knew he had that one too, just because I could, you know, I just know what he sounds like. And we went in there, and sure enough, he had another one. And we cut him back loose, and before we could even break, and Jackson was treed, over here to the right hand. And as soon as we cut him loose, we no more than broke the turn to go to Jackson, and he wham treed again. and I knew he can just tree him just like popping popcorn once he gets in that mode. And so we go to Matthew's dog, and he was on another circle tree, and the other boy's dog was treed through there. So there wasn't no way. And I'm thinking, and Quigley says, "Are you going to tree your dog, Brian?" I said, "Well, it just depends on what you're going to do." And he said, "Well, how much time is left in the hunt?" I said, 4.5 minutes. He said, "Well, I'm satisfied." I said, "Tree game then." And he said, "Well, I guess you just won." But now if he was going to stand there and search, I wasn't going to tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I treed him, I just went and got him, I didn't see a squirrel or anything. That's how that first round went.
What was your score, the final score? Do you remember?
Just 200. I had 200 and I think 3 circle trees.
And Quigley had 100 plus, and
another dog. Yeah, and he had several circle trees, and the other dog, he had a squirrel and a couple, 2 or 3 circle trees. Yeah, we had a good hunt. I mean, just the difference in it was I didn't get leash locked that one time. And that made up for his zoo head mistake when he come into the other dog.
Yep. Well, you got a break there. You know, you got to have the breaks.
Yep. And then the second round, I drew out with Lee Varner and a boy from Mississippi hunting a blue tick looking dog. I forget what that young boy's name was. I know his dad's name was Brian. That's all I can tell you.
Huh.
And my dog treed, we treed 2 squirrels. Lee's dog treed 1 and I treed 1. And I had more circle points. That's what won that there for me.
Now, was the terrain pretty similar between the first and the second cast?
Yeah, we hunted the same woods. We just hunted one side of the road versus the other side of the road.
Okay. Yeah. So y'all just parked in the same spot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was flat. It was flat ground.
Dang, I'm kind of jealous of that.
We never walked an uphill grade all day Saturday.
Heck. Man, I don't know how you got that lucky. Because my calves, I don't know that we walked any flat ground all day.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so you going into Sunday feeling, got to feel pretty strong, pretty great. Was you still a little leery? Do you get anxious?
I'll just say this. If game is won his game and he's got his head screwed on straight, he's a tough out. I mean, you're gonna have to beat him. But now if he don't have his game on and he don't have his head screwed on straight, it's just like you didn't even turn a dog loose. I mean, he's a high maintenance dog, and I mean sometimes you just don't know what you're going to turn loose.
Yeah, yeah. So was you feeling like he had his game head on right after Saturday?
I felt pretty confident in him, and I had several people say, "Man, you got him looking good, Brian. You got him looking good." I said, "Well, tomorrow." I always say, "Tomorrow's a different day."
Yeah, it surely is. It sure is. And I'll say this, and I've said it many a times: if I talk good about my dog, he looks the worst I've ever seen him. And if I talk bad about him, people's like, "I can't believe you said that about this dog."
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
But I try not to do very much bragging. I've learned a long time ago. They're just like you or I or anyone else. They're human and they make mistakes too.
Oh yeah.
And it's just you just don't never know. You just don't never know what you're gonna get, I guess.
I agree. So Saturday morning or Sunday morning, I will say this. I wanted a 2-dog draw so bad I couldn't stand it. I was like, dude, I just need a chance to get in the finals. And you got it. That you and Ken, man, that was pretty handy. Them 2-dog cast, I feel like it's a little better depiction of the dogs instead of having a third one in there, because you just got to get the brakes on them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So.
Well, actually, you know, we was in the final of the breed nationals over at Cesar, and all the way home, Ethan, you know, the young man that was with me, Ethan Ledbetter, he gave me a hard time because Ken, we withdrawed and you know, that little feist, you know, that little feist beat us, you know, and Ethan, he was giving me a hard time about that little feist beating game, you know, that little dog beat game, you know, blah, 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 you know, just busting me up. And, so we was sitting there at the cabin, and I told him, I said, I want that pig heads up Saturday night. I told him that. And he said, well, if you get, and he said, yeah, I bet you do. I said, yeah. I said, he got me last time. I want that
some redemption.
Yeah. And, so Sunday morning, draw the cast out, and Ethan was sitting kind of behind me, but to the side, and they, now, you know, they called the cast, and he just put his head down and shook it. And you know, when they said pig and game over, and when we was walking out to the truck, he said, if that pig beats you, he said, you'll never
so I, what's funny is I've talked to Ken about it, and Ken's like, I'm in a no lose situation. You know, he says, if he gets beat by something that besides a feist, he's supposed to get beat. But if he beats somebody, they're not, he's not supposed to win. And I guess it's kind of, for whatever reason, I don't know why we have that mentality, because pig don't hunt like a typical feist. You know what I mean? He'll go out there and find one, and he's not sitting around your feet. And I'm not trying to down feist at all, but you know, that's the kind of the mentality that most people have.
Well, so. when you hear feist and you hear everyone talk about feist, they you're just thinking a dog that you're going to walk through the woods and shoot squirrels with.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, pig is very capable of beating any dog. Pig, I told Ken, I said, he looks like a little red missile going through there when you turn loose. And you know, that Ken, he's that's a good guy right there. And man, I believe he could make a dead man laugh. And
oh, he's funny.
Yeah, and he's got all kinds of sayings. But I can tell you, if I needed a dog and Ken wanted to get rid of the pig could come and stay here and. I'd be proud to, if I was Ken, I'd be very proud to own the pig. I'll just say it.
For sure. You know, I mean, like he says, he's not supposed to win in everybody else's eyes. And a lot of times he does. They say he's poison in squirrels. They say that sun gun can absolutely tree the fire out of them in squirrels.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he can. But yeah, I'm glad we weren't in very many squirrels.
I heard that. Well, see, that was right the opposite. My cast, they put us out and we treed 5 in 200 yards, and my dog's more of a go find one kind of dog. And so, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. But I mean, now game can tree him with the best. I mean, I've seen him tree, you know, 4 or 5 of them in a row, bang, 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 and cast before, you know. And Sunday, I think we hunted where we was at. We were told where to go, and none of us had been there, and I believe we just hunted it wrong. And we got up in the hills, and I mean, game is he normally has a squirrel or a den tree. I mean, he don't tree up very many trees that just don't have nothing.
And
he treed a couple trees there Sunday morning that just didn't have nothing, and there wasn't nothing around. And and then he treed a couple legit dens. I mean,
yeah,
but yeah, yeah. And so yeah, that's how that went. I mean, Ken took a minus, and he treated his dog a little bit fast, and that's, I mean, I, yeah. I
what was I, the score of that cat? What'd you have?
I had 400 circle, and Ken had a minus and 3 circle trees.
Yeah. It happens for sure. You hunt long enough, you're gonna draw minuses, and you know, sometimes you just don't find any, you know. That's one of them casts. Our squirrels shut down pretty early also. I don't they was down for about the first 20 minutes, and then the dogs had to go. And I think that was a similar thing for everybody Sunday morning. There wasn't a whole lot of squirrels scored on.
Right. When we was driving back in there, we left off the trace, the trace road, and we went back a gravel road, I don't know, several miles, and we seen squirrels running across the road, the gravel road, and we got back in there, and they was beating the squirrels of the trees or something was going on. I don't know, but I just know this. They wasn't a squirrel in sight of any of the trees I went to.
Yeah, I get it. It's dogs beating the squirrels to the tree. That's a good one. But, yeah, so you got to the finals. What was your mindset? Because Susan and Spike, that's pretty good company.
My mindset was, I hope my dog does what he's supposed to do. And don't embarrass me in front of the whole world.
Because there wasn't a bunch of nobodies on that cast.
No, don't just, I hate to lose. Don't get me wrong. I'm the world's worst loser. But I just thought to myself, we've been here before. I've been here before. The dog's been in this situation before. If he does what he's supposed to do, I've got a shot. It's like anything. And if he don't do what he's supposed to do, I have no shot. Luckily he done what he was supposed to do. The squirrels weren't moving very good at all. The wind was blowing, and we went over there to the park, around the, exactly how we hunted, the junior final.
It's hilly, but there's a bunch of squirrels over.
Yeah. And, we cut loose and, Susan treed, mine treed, and Spike treed, and, me and Susan was on circle trees, and Spike had a squirrel. I thought, my land, we're going to get, and Spike's mom, old Grace, I handled her some for, Marty Munns and Quigley.
Yeah.
And I know what, and Spike's almost a carbon copy of his mom.
Yeah.
And those two dogs can beat your eyeballs out. And, and so we get them all gathered up and we cut them loose, and Susan and Game takes off out of there, and Spike, he kind of takes off down in the hollow there, and there, and mine's gone, Susan's gone. And so we walked down, I don't know, towards that big parking lot, and mine happens in my at home, mine will very rarely ever circle around. He just goes. Mm-hmm. And for some unknown reason, he circles around and he comes right back up in front of the trucks. I mean, right directly in front of the trucks and trees. And we get in there to him, and the tree he's treed on is uprooted. And thank goodness he decided that his climbing days were over. And because I don't know if we'd ever got him out of the tree without calling the fire department or somebody.
Really?
And it just crashed into another great big old tree. I mean, perfect place for a squirrel to be. And he had that squirrel. And I get him off that tree and I recut him, and Spike the tree's about, I don't know, within 200 yards of us. I mean, we literally could see Spike the tree.
Yeah.
And I, man, so Game, he's gone, and I'm looking at the Garmin, and he's half a mile around through there, and he's circling back around, and I'm thinking, just please don't go across the road and down over in, where I can't hear him.
Yeah.
And, we go down there to Spike, and I thought, I'm just going to say it. Shit. And, first fourth right there is set, and Ken hadn't even started the 5 minute time yet. And I said, right, here's the squirrel. And, we get Spike and we recut him. We walk back over onto one of the park roads there, and Susan, she's country mile away, trees her. And, we're walking, we walk and walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. And we get, I don't know, within yardage of her anyways. I don't know how far we was from her. My Garmin showed game treed. So I started lagging behind a little bit so I could listen, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I hollered at Ken. You know, Ken, he was the judge. And I hollered, "Judge, do you hear my dog back through here?" And so he said, "Well, let me listen." And he listened. He said, "Yeah, I hear him." I said, "Tree game." And he was 0.92 from us.
Wow.
And you could just hear him roaring and echoing off the lake, off the hills on the other side.
Can you normally hear him that far?
No.
Oh, this is perfect, perfect situation.
Yeah. I mean, now, if in the hills, you'd probably be able to hear him better, but I try to hunt flat ground.
Yeah, on flat ground, can how far are you? Yeah, is average.
I try to hunt the flat ground at home. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can hear him, you know, half mile, six tenths sometimes. Just depends on background noise and the wind and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but by rule at home, no, you're not going to hear him that far away. And if it wasn't for the water, and he was treed right beside the lake, and in between he was treed on the backside of a hill. So every ounce of his volume was shooting across the lake and bouncing.
Wow. You know, echoing.
And I don't know what Bo's last name is.
Butler. Is it Bo Butler?
Bo Butler. He was the secondary judge, and we get in there, and I get him on the leash, and Bo come around from the bottom, and he had a big old fox squirrel there. And I thought, when I walked into the tree, he's treed up a tree about maybe 18, 20 inches round, and it went straight in the air 150 feet, and probably 100 of it didn't have a limb on it.
Really?
And I thought, you circle tree, son of a gun, you. Right, you know, because the hunt's over. And I thought, and that was before I ever looked up. That's what I said to myself. And I was cursing him anyways.
Yeah.
And Bo came around the bottom side of the tree, and that big old fox squirrel come around there. And I said, "He's got him, Bo. The squirrel's moving." And I said, "Just stand right there." And I moved, and the squirrel come around. And he said, "Yeah, I see him." Well, so I felt, you know, pretty confident that the fox squirrel wasn't going to go anywhere, you know. And if it did, you know, Bo could have, you know, we would have still got to score it, but I wanted everybody to see the squirrel. And,
yeah.
And we was laying there on the ground, and I said, "Hey, Bo," I said, "you got your phone?" And he felt his pocket, and he said, "No, I don't." And I said, "Well, I got mine." And I videoed that squirrel. And I didn't want a single soul to doubt, you know, that squirrel was in that tree. And, so here comes Ken and Ethan and Mike Rush and Mike, or they told us, you know, that Susan had a squirrel and been recasted and was treed again. And I thought, dang, I ain't won this thing yet.
Dang.
and I said, "Well, he's got a squirrel here, you know." And actually, you know, naturally, and Mike says, you know, he was with Bart and Spike, and, you know, and he wanted to see Spike win. And I said, "Well, he's got the squirrel." I said, "I got a squirrel here." And he says, "Well, show him to us. Show him to us." I said, "You just hold on. I will." And I walked in that tree, and that squirrel come around and shot up that tree. And Mike said, "I got him," you know. And then we go to Susan, and she was on a circle tree. But yeah, it's pretty exciting. And I mean, squirrel hunting, I've hunted all over America, coon hunting. I've hunted the beagles, you know, I've been to different states beagle hunting and stuff, but squirrel hunting is absolutely the hardest to win, because you have to have some luck. And I mean, it's the hardest one. I mean, as far as competing, I mean, we're out there trying to tree an animal that absolutely don't want to stay treed.
Yes.
And one wrong footstep or whatever going into a tree, and that squirrel's gonzo.
I agree.
Like, off through the trees or jumps out of the tree. I mean, it's just, I mean, squirrel hunting, competing, you have to have a good dog. I mean, no matter what kind of hunting you're doing, you have to have a good dog. But it don't never hurt to have some luck on your side either.
Oh, for sure. You know, at least when a coon goes up a tree, unless the tree is touching another one that's in that tree. You know what I mean? A squirrel? Yeah. I've seen them bail out from 40, 50 foot in the air. When they hit the ground, they're running like they was just stepped there, you know?
Well, where I live, I have about, I don't know, 20 oak trees in the yard and back here in the woods. And I can sit here at the kitchen table and look out the window, and I will literally watch a squirrel travel 150, 200, 300 yards through the treetops. And I mean, them squirrels, it's just like Interstate 70 going through Columbus, and you got 270 and 71.
Yeah.
And literally, I can sit here, and there's the one squirrel that he'll come from out of the back of the woods over here, and he will literally come to this apple tree that's at minimum 200 yards away from where he comes out of his den, and he will never touch the ground getting here to this apple tree.
Yep.
And I mean, and so people, you know, when you find a squirrel 60 feet away, or, well, that dog didn't tree that squirrel. Well, yeah, if you haven't sat and watched a squirrel, yeah, that's that, because that was my first thought too, you know, that dog didn't tree that dang squirrel. Well, yeah, he treed where it went up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it could have went up that tree and moved over after, you know, but it might have moved over before he treed, you know, it might have been over the whole time. It's just, that's the tree it went up and they just didn't see it.
Yeah. I mean, these squirrels, I mean, they're, I mean, and I mean, well, here at the house, you can't keep one treed.
Yeah.
I have a pup. I always have a pup here running around. And when they get the tree in them squirrels, them squirrels will drive a pup nuts here at the house, because they, they'll run up the tree and they won't even stop. Just keep riding and trucking.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm ready. I hate it because I'm not. It's hard to find them with the leaves on the trees. But boy, my dog show is looking when there ain't no leaves on the trees.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, game. He will. If he sees it, he'll timber it. But he don't really look up in the trees too much.
Yeah. Well, I don't think mine's great at it. There's some dogs I've seen that's really, really good at it. Mine is barking, but if it catches a corner of his eyes, he can't resist timbering.
Right.
You know, and some people say they want their dog to timber because they want him to be under the squirrel, and it's a squirrel dog and blah, blah, blah. But it is kind of a detriment to competition, if you will.
Right.
So if you get caught anyways. Or if they get caught. But, well, Brian, you got anything else coming up? I know you just got done with the JPI.
Yeah. We're going to go to the USDC World Hunt, I reckon, since we got qualified, and give a whirl there. But then as soon as we're done with that, we're going to start beagling, I guess.
Beagling. Oh, what? So when is the USDC World, and where is it located?
It's April 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th, and it's at Mount Orb, Ohio, at Clay Mount Stevens.
I think it's pretty flat up there, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it can get it is for the most part, but if you get around a couple of them lakes, it gets a little rugged too.
Yeah, I got you. I'm sure it's a game-rich environment. I think Susan is doing pretty good on the power ranking, so I'd assume they've got some game.
Clay, Clay and Susan will be hard to beat there. That's their home. So.
yeah, it'd be tough to beat them there, for sure. Tough to beat them anywhere, but especially there.
So. That's a lot of competition. That's what I love to compete. It don't matter whether I'm squirrel hunting or if I was coon hunting or running beagles or playing checkers. I'm a competitor. I love to compete, and that's where it's at. It's for me as the competition side of it.
There's
a lot of competition into the squirrel dogs. I mean, everyone that shows up got the dog that trees squirrels, And I mean, it just comes down to a matter of, 99% of the cast come down to the last tree and who squirrel, I mean, who has the last squirrel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy. The coon hunting, it ain't nothing like that. And the beagle dogs, it's a lot of the casts are tight with the beagle dogs, but the squirrel hunting, I'm going to go and say that the squirrel hunting is probably this. I mean, from A to Z, it's probably the best competition. I mean, everyone has a pretty good dog.
That's one thing I have noticed. So I ain't going to say everywhere around the country, because there's a lot of places that obviously don't have a local coon club, but there's two or three around my house, local coon clubs in out northwest Alabama, northeast Mississippi, you know, that have local coon hunts once a month. And they kind of, what they do is they stagger on ones this week, ones the next week, you know, and they'll be 14, 15 dogs at them. But there's only one or two that's really capable of winning. And the squirrel side of it, any dog you draw, I mean, very rarely have I seen just a dog that I'm like, man, and I think it was just having a bad day. I don't think very many people bring dogs that's not capable of winning.
Right.
And that's just dumbfounding to me. You know, there's a lot of people that won't come. They think their dog can't compete. And I tell them, I said, well, there's only one way to find out.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, you don't know at home. You know what I mean?
I remember when I was 14 or 15 years old, my dad always beagle hunted, coon hunted. But dad was never into the competition side of any of the hunting. And dad never squirrel. My dad was a squirrel hunter, but now he was a still hunter. He went and sit and shot him, you know? And so we always coon hunted, squirrel hunted, rabbit hunted. But when I was about 14 or 15, I got my first coon dog, you know, that was, you know, was mine, you know? I started hunting, and I thought, man, I'd like to get into the night hunts. And there's a couple guys here by the house that I went with, and I tried to spectate, you know, and I said, crap, you can't learn nothing by doing this. I'm gonna tell you how you learn. And I, by God, I just started going and putting my dog in them. And the dog I had, he was a whale of a good coon dog, but I, when as you know, as a 15-year-old, 16-year-old boy, however old I was at the time when I first started going, my dog ran a deer one night. Well, I didn't have no shock collar or a tracking collar.
Yeah.
And I run that sucker down on foot, and I caught him. And I knocked the tar out of him, you know, for running that deer. Well, I ruined him.
Yeah.
I mean, the competition, I ruined him, because if one of them other guys' dogs would do something wrong, he'd just come back. And so I pretty much ruined him from them hunts. I just jumped in both feet first. And that's how I just jumped in and I learned the hard way. And I mean, you can't teach somebody how to handle a dog. I mean, you just got to learn. You just got to learn and learn from your mistakes and go with it. But yeah, that's I don't know. That's how I done it.
I think that's the best way, really. The learning by trial and error. Everybody gets upset about the $30 lessons, if you will, as they call them. But the very few times are you going to get the same $30 lesson over again.
Yeah, well, you can read the rules all you want, but there's always you always get yourself in a situation that you don't know what rule pertains to what or whatever, you know. It's I've been there. I still get myself in a situation once in a while.
Yeah, we was talking about the scoring at the World Hunt, and
yeah, I still don't understand that, but okay.
Yeah, so yeah, it's learning by trial and error, and it is what it is. You know, we go 2-1 for the people that's on the fence about it. Look, yeah. I hate to say this because I hadn't been in the game a whole long time, but don't expect to win the first time you go.
Right.
I was naive enough to expect to win. I didn't. But, you know, the odds are most likely you're not going to win. But you can see where your dog stands. You can see what rules you might be vague on. You can ask questions.
Yeah. You know? Well, you're not going to know unless you go. And I always say this. And this is one of the things that always sticks in my mind. If my dog trees more squirrels or more coons, and I take the judge and I show him more coons or more squirrels than the other guy's dog's tree, you can't beat me.
Can't beat it. You cannot beat it.
Unless we make a bunch of mistakes. Yep. And I've always told the guys, you know, hey, learn your dog. That's the number one thing. Learn your dog. Know your dog inside and out. Every bark it makes, you got to know what he's doing.
Yeah,
and if you take that dog, and you know what he's every bark he's telling you, you know what he's telling you about, and just call him. If you call him, you know, and make no mistakes, and you show the judge more squirrels or more coons, you're going to be pretty hard to beat. Them rules, they're just there in case there's a an issue. You know,
yeah.
I mean, but overall, if you treat more squirrels or more coons than the next guy, you should be the winner. Sometimes it don't work out that way.
I agree.
But I mean, by rule, if you do that, you're going to win a high percentage of the time.
Yes, sir. I agree with that 100%. Well, I've had you on here about an hour. You got anybody you want to thank or talk about? Mm-hmm. Or
no, I just
shout outs.
Well, got to thank the good Lord above for where I wake up every morning and get on my feet and go hunt and thank my family. And I got to give a special thanks to Cody Thoman, because if it wasn't for Cody, it wouldn't be possible. And I also know that he don't really care about squirrel hunting. He's doing it because I want to do it.
Yeah, I get it.
And thank Ethan Ledbetter for what he has done, and he helps out. Overall, I just got to give Cody a great big thanks.
Yes, sir. We appreciate Cody from the Hunting Dog Public also. And shout out Ethan. He was very nice. Nice to talk to him.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, he's a good young man. He's right there with me.
Yep.
I think when we won it, he was more happier than I was.
Yep. Great guy. Really good guy. Always grinning. Coming third at the Junior World with Johnny Cash.
Yep.
So, yep, shout out to Ethan. So,
yeah.
Well, Mr. Brian, I appreciate you coming on, and I'd like to also congratulate you again with winning the NSD 2023 World Squirrel Hunt.
And thank you, and thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, and I hope you have a good day.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Uh-huh.